We're going to read from Matthew 27, verse 45. Let's read God's word together. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar to put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it on his new tomb that he had cut out from the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate said. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. This is God's word to us this morning. Let's pray, shall we? Father, please would you help us to see the beauty and the wonder of the cross this morning for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Now, Good Friday is a day where we think about death. We've said that already. Yeah, it's a part of Easter. That's right, Jemima. Yeah, and it's a day where we think about death, the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross. Now, I wonder, when you think about death, how does it make you feel? It's quite a personal question. Just think about it in your heads. You don't need to answer that one, Lukas. Thank you. But when you think about death, how does it make you feel?
Miserable.
When you miserable. When you come face to face with death, do you personally, you don't have to answer this one out loud, do you personally have hope? Do you have confidence? Those are the words that come into your head when you think about death. And death is something we all have to face. It's not very nice to talk about. But perhaps this year we've had family members and friends who have died. Maybe right now some of us have loved ones who are drawing near to the gates of death. Death is something we all have to face personally as well. Again, it's not very nice to think about. But actually, whether we're really, really young or really old, or somewhere in between, one day it will be us. One day it will be me. And no one knows the time that it's going to be then. Now, almost always, death is a really sad thing. Almost always, death is the end of the story. It's the finish line for someone's life. And by the end of the passage that we read, Jesus is dead and buried. Are we all with us? Make sure that the Turkish guys can hear that translation as well. So almost always, death is the end of the story, the finish line for someone's life. But by the end of the passage we read, Jesus is dead and buried. He's in a tomb. But Matthew wants us to see that Jesus' death is all about life. Now, that's a really important thing for us to remember today. So, youngsters, you're going to help me out, okay? If you consider yourself young, I'll let you cut off where there's. But if you consider yourself young, then every time I say Jesus' death is all about, I want you to finish off my sentence, okay? How are you going to finish it? What word do you need to use? Was anyone listening? Jesus' death is all about?
Life.
Life, okay? So let's try that. Jesus' death is all about?
Life.
That's what Matthew wants us to see. Jesus' death is the way that we can have confidence and hope even in the face of death. That's why it's called Good Friday. Because Jesus' death is all about?
Life.
Good job. So let's walk through together this passage as we see Jesus' life-giving death. The first thing we see in this passage is... Josh? Oh, I've got it, don't worry. Here we go. First thing, Jesus gives up his life. That's what we see first and foremost. Now, on Sunday, if you were here with us last Sunday, we found ourselves at the foot of the cross when we considered the previous few verses. We watched as Jesus was mocked and abused by the soldiers, as he walked up the hill of execution, as he was lifted up to hang on that wooden cross. This is the central moment in human history, and creation seems to realize that because strange things begin to happen. Look at verse 45. Verse 45, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness comes over the whole of the land. Now, some of us are from England, some of us aren't, but in England, we're used to having rainy, dry? That's the opposite thing. Rainy, dull days is what I was going to say. Grey days, a bit like today, where everything seems a bit dim and a bit rubbish. But this isn't what's going on here. This is the brightest part of the day, and it goes completely dark. And it's not just a plane flying in front of the sun. They didn't have planes. But it's not just something that happens for a moment. This lasts for 3 hours of darkness. Now in the Bible, darkness is a picture of God's judgment and his anger. God is light. And so when he turns his face away, it's like there's a power cut. And for the first time, Jesus the Son suffered silence from his Father. And he cries out, verse 46, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's terrible and it's wonderful. An innocent man suffering undeserved judgment. But he was doing it for me so that I can know God. And again, the people around him seem to misunderstand what's going on. Verse 47, they say, well, he's calling Elijah. To them, it just seems like an interesting turn of events. And so verse 48, they get him a drink to revive him a bit, to keep him alive a bit longer. They just want to extend the show, see what's going to happen next. Verse 49, let's see if Elijah comes to save him now. Jesus wasn't your average criminal. And even when he's hanging on a cross, there's still some debate about how it's going to end. They're saying to each other, well, maybe he will be saved after all. But then comes verse 50. When Jesus had cried out in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. That's such a profound verse. He gave up his spirit. It was his choice. He gave. It was his gift. Spirit, it was his life. His enemies thought they had won, but Jesus is in control. The soldiers were the ones who are the executioners, but it's Jesus who chooses when to die. Even at the moment of his death, Jesus calls the shots. He gives up his life, and it's the greatest gift that has ever been given. But Jesus' death is all about
life.
So check out what happens in the very next verse, 51. At that moment, the moment that Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now in the temple, that's where the Jewish people would meet with God. There was this massive thick curtain separating the people from the place that God lives. And at the moment that Jesus died, that curtain is ripped in two. That's a really scary thing. Those who are used to going to the temple, they knew that curtain was there for their safety. You can't get too close to God because He is perfect, He is holy, and we're not. And so if we are exposed to God in all His glory, you die. It's a bit like a radioactive substance that you have to keep in a sealed container. But now that container is broken, and there's the danger of death. But Jesus' death is all about life. Before His death, you couldn't draw near to God. You couldn't go beyond the curtain. But now, the way is open for us to be able to walk into the presence of the life-giving God. To enjoy the life that comes from Him. Jesus' death is all about
life.
And look what happens next in verse 51. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised back to life. The cross is quite literally groundbreaking. The power of His resurrection shakes the earth. The rocks split, the tombs break open. It's a weird thing, these verses, isn't it? It kind of makes us think, wow, what was going on there? This is the only place in the Bible that we read about this particular incident. People coming back to life and walking out of the tombs. It seems strange to us. Maybe it leaves us with lots of questions that the Bible doesn't directly answer. But one thing is very, very clear. Jesus' death brings life. Jesus gives up His life to give us life. Before Jesus came to earth in human flesh, before Jesus was born as a baby, before that time, there were people who loved God. God-fearing men and women who were trusting that one day God was going to send the Messiah, this future sacrifice which would deal with their sin. They were trusting in Jesus, even though they didn't know who He was yet. Those people, the people who lived before Jesus was born, the people who lived before the Messiah had come and were trusting God, they were actually saved by Jesus' death on the cross, even though it hadn't happened yet. They were looking forward to the Messiah, and so they are saved by Him. And now what happens as Jesus dies is that some of those people are miraculously resurrected to show the life-giving power of Jesus' death. I love how Jesus always managed to flip things upside down. Jesus gives up His life to give us life. Life means knowing the life-giving God, going into His presence and enjoying the life that comes from Him, eternal life forever with God. That's the hope of everyone who trusts in Him. That's the good news of Good Friday. Jesus' death is all about
life.
Good job. That's the first thing. Jesus gives up His life to give us life. Secondly, Jesus goes into a tomb. We read about that. In verse 57, we're introduced to a man called Joseph. And then 58, Joseph goes to Pilate. He asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it was given to him. He didn't ask for Jesus. He asked for His body, because Jesus has given up His spirit. All that's left is a corpse to be buried. Verse 59, Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, that was the grave clothes, and then placed it in his own new tomb that had been cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb. Dead and buried. Jesus goes into a tomb. That's always a sad moment, isn't it? It's somber. It's hopeless. Verse 61, you've got Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. They're just sitting opposite, looking, grieving. Hurting. Things aren't looking too good for the followers of Jesus. And it gets even worse because the religious leaders stick their nose in. And verse 65, they say, they get Pilate to take a guard, go and make the tomb as secure as you know how. So this guard goes and makes the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. So now you've got a padlock and armed soldiers around the clock. No one gets in, no one gets out. If you've ever stood at a graveside at a funeral during a burial, you'll know that it's a really sad, poignant moment. There's often lots of tears at a graveside. It's the end of the story. For that person who has died, it's the finish line. You're not going to go and dig up the coffin. You're never going to see them again. And so as the soil starts to cover up the top of the box, that's it. And when the stone rolls in front of the tomb, it's final. Yes, the women were going to come back to embalm the body with the spices, but Jesus is dead. It's over. It's finished. Or maybe not. Because Matthew wants us to know, are you still with us, youngsters? Matthew wants us to know that Jesus' death is all about
life.
He gives up his life to give us life, and he goes into the tomb to break us out. You see, as Matthew writes his gospel, he's very careful about how he puts it together. So in between Jesus' death and his burial are those strange verses that we already began to consider. These holy people who come back to life. And then look what happens in verse 53. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city, Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. Now this is something, did you notice? It says it happened after Jesus' resurrection. So it happens later on. It happens after Jesus has risen again. But Matthew places it slap bang in the middle between Jesus' death and Jesus' burial, because he wants us to be in no doubt at all that Jesus' death is all about
life.
Spoiler alert, again. This isn't the end of the story. Good Friday is not the end of the script. If you come back on the third day, come back on Sunday, and you'll be with us as we celebrate the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He is not here, he has risen. Jesus goes into the tomb, but then he breaks out. And as Jesus breaks out of the tomb, he isn't the only one. These holy people, these Old Testament believers who are looking forward to the coming Messiah, their faith proves to be right. Just imagine if you were down at the graveyard that day. That would have been freaky, right? Suddenly all these people start coming out of their tombs. And then they go into the holy city. And they appear to people in Jerusalem. That must have been weird as well. But you bump into someone in the street and you say, "Oh, hey, Phil, haven't seen you for a while. How's things? How's your wife? How's the kids? Wait, didn't you die? Pretty sure you died." It must have been really weird. Suddenly these guys who have been in the grave were now walking around talking to people. Such is the power of Jesus' unbreakable life. He gives up his life to give us life, and he goes into the tomb to break us out. Our resurrection life depends on his. And for everyone who trusts in Jesus, because he lives, so will we. Jesus goes into the tomb to break us out. So if you're a Christian here this morning, when you're dead and buried, it's not the end. You have a living hope. When you lie lifeless in a coffin, when the soil begins to cover the box or the flames begin to burn it up, the story hasn't finished. So when death draws near, here's hope. When we come face to face with death, whether that be ourselves or people that we know, here's confidence. If you trust in Jesus, death is just a doorway to life. Eternal life, forever with him. Last week we saw that Jesus was the unsaved Saviour. And in today's passage we see that he is the dying life giver. So what are you going to do with him? How are you going to respond? There are two options in the text, briefly. The soldiers believe, the religious leaders are deceived. Verse 54, when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Here's the centurion and his crew. Surely the same guys who had been mocking and abusing Jesus just a few verses before. They ridiculed the thought that he could be king, but when they saw the power of his death, it changed everything. Surely he was the Son of God. These guys had no religious background. They probably weren't familiar with the Old Testament promises of the Messiah, but they saw and they believed. The religious leaders were deceived. Verse 62, that they go to Pilate and they say, "Sir, They said, "We remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, the disciples might come and steal the body and tell everyone he's been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." They were convinced that Jesus was a liar, that his disciples might come and steal the body and make up an untrue story that would deceive others. But they were the ones being deceived. They were the ones believing something that wasn't true. Those religious leaders were there at the cross. They'd seen the same things that the soldiers had seen. And they even had the religious background. They knew the Old Testament writings about what the suffering Savior would do. And yet they still would not believe. They were deceived. Being a Christian isn't about your background or your upbringing. It's not about your nationality or your knowledge. Being a Christian is all about coming to the foot of the cross, seeing what happened there, and saying, "Jesus, you really are the Son of God. You are God." If you trust in Jesus, if you ask for the forgiveness of your sins, you will be saved. And then you will have this undying hope in the face of death. Because Jesus went into the tomb to break you out. He gave up his life to give you life. The whole of Jesus' life was all pointing towards his death. And Jesus' death is all about life. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we praise you for the death of the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he gave up his life so that we might have life. He went into that tomb dead and buried, and he broke out so that as we trust in him, we can break out of the tomb as well. Death has no hold on all who trust in the Lord Jesus. We praise you for the hope and the confidence that gives us when we face death now. We praise you for the living hope that we have of eternal life with you forever in heaven. Thank you that death is just a doorway to life. We praise you, Lord, that as we come and remember a death, actually it's a really joyful occasion because, Jesus, your death brings us life. And so we worship you. Amen. Amen.